Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Broadcasting from the Ante Up Studio, it's the longest running poker podcast for the everyday poker player with your host, Joe Scales.
Hello, A-Team. It's Friday, January 26th. Welcome to the Ante Up Poker Podcast, where every hand is an opportunity, every player is a friend, and every episode is a winning experience. I'm your host, Joe Scales, and sadly, the Ante Up Poker Podcast did not make it as a final nominee at the 5th Annual Global Poker Awards. There were two rounds to narrow the fields of each category to four, and we were not able to get into that final four. I guess we're just going to have to work harder to get there the next time around, but there are four great podcasts that are nominated. The Thinking Poker Podcast, Only Friends Podcast, The Chip Race, and Poker in the Ears. And those are four great options. The voting for the Fans' Choice Awards has already started as well, and that's going to end Wednesday, January 31st. So you're going to be able to vote on Best Hand, Best Trophy, Best Livestream, and Poker Personality. I'll have the links in the show description if you want to vote. And good luck to everyone in those. Our January Patreon game is scheduled for next week, although it's technically going to be on February 1st. We're going to have another one in a few weeks, but the month of January just went too fast. I am looking forward to getting into that game, though. Last month, Brian Bly and Bob Popper chopped a $50 prize, so who's going to challenge them this time around? If you want to join the game, all you have to do, join the raise level of our Patreon page, and you'll have access to the monthly game, behind-the-scenes content, and discounts to the October cruise, which I'll be adding those discounts next week, so stay tuned for those. That's all I have, so let's get on with the show.
Find out what conversations are happening around the poker table with Table Talk.
We are back around the poker table with Elle. Hey, Elle, how are you?
Hi. Happy Friday. okay. I just feel like these weeks keep dragging on and on. I feel like I keep saying that every week lately. So I don't know. Maybe it's winter. Who knows?
Maybe you should try out this magic mind that we've been talking about these last few weeks.
Oh, I forgot they sent you that. That's that thing that you snuck and took last week or 2 weeks ago without me knowing to see if I could tell any difference. And I didn't
know
that you were shaky or anything because you haven't had caffeine in, what, 12 years now?
12 years, yeah. Yeah, I've always been very careful to try to avoid things that would make it hard to sleep or something like that. But Magic Mind, it's different than like coffee or anything like that. It keeps you from kind of having that moment where when you over caffeinate, where you're jittery, but it also, you know, I mean, you don't have that drop off at the end either. So I would recommend, I think you would benefit from it.
Well, we're getting ready to hit the road this weekend. So throw some of those in your bag. I'd love to try it. You know me, I'm caffeinated 3 times a day, more if I can. So it'll be a different experience, but
yeah.
What's in it?
So yes, the key ingredients to look up, I would say matcha, adaptogens, and nootropics. Those kind of combine to give you some energy. They keep you calm and focused. But it, honestly, I mean, I've never seen anything that combines this ability to focus and then also kind of gives you that little bit of jolt to up your productivity a little bit. It's weird. I've never seen anything that pushes the two of those together, because I've seen, you know, you drink an energy drink and you're ready to bounce off the walls, but this doesn't do that. So
yeah, and even just hearing the ingredients, I mean, matcha is huge in the health industry with you know, green teas, and adding that to all sorts of, you know, either breakfast foods or smoothies. I've heard that adaptogens are, you know, the way to go if you're trying to cut alcohol out of your life. That's what all of those new drinks coming out, which I've been wanting to try as well. And then the nootropics, it sounds like, is one that I haven't done any research on. So throw those in your bag.
Yeah.
I want to try it.
If you like it, we have a code, so we can get it 20% off. So if you go to magicmind.com/JANANTIUP, so Jan for January, anti up, then you can get 1 month free with a 3 month subscription. Or if you just want to try it out, order it, use the code ANTIUP20 and get 20% off your order. But that only lasts till the end of January, so we've only got one more week left. So less than a week, really. So if you're going to try it, jump on there, take care of it, get it done, and we'll bring it on the trip and you can see how you like it.
I'd love to try it. I'll report back next Friday.
That sounds good.
Thanks, Magic Mind. And I'm also really, really excited to have Hannah Smith with us this week around the table. She's here with us from Camp One Step.
Hey!
Area, a charity that we have grown to love and adore and can't wait to keep continuing to support. So, Hannah, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about all things poker.
Well, we'll mix in some other things here too. Glad you're with us. We met you last year when we went to the charity poker tournament with Camp One Step, and it's coming up again this year, right?
Yep, April 18th is the big day at Galleria Marchetti.
Cannot wait. It is an awesome, awesome, awesome event. Last year I was able to come and help volunteer to check people in as they arrive at that awesome venue that we always mispronounce. And it's a beautiful space, very Italian inside, big, much bigger than it looks from the outside.
Right.
How many poker tables did you have last year? Do you remember?
We typically have max for 250 players. So I think in the main room we had anywhere from like 25 to 28 tables. But then we have that high roller room as well, which fits another three tables in it.
Yeah, and that's interesting. We'll jump into talking about that here in just a minute too, because the high roller is just one more way for people to be able to get involved. But let's talk about the tournament in general. So obviously the idea is get these people together, enjoy some fun poker, and also have a chance at some great prizes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then all of the money raised is to be able to benefit sending these kids with cancer to camps, right?
Yes, that's correct. So all of the funds raised go directly to, like you said, sending these kids to camp. And it's amazing because none of our families have to pay out of pocket. So the point of these events is to make sure that we can get as many kids onto campus throughout our different programs throughout the year, and they wouldn't have to pay a dime.
Which is huge, because I know I mentioned this last year when we originally met you all and we were able to join you. Just near and dear to my heart are, you know, any family struggling with cancer. We actually have a couple cancer diagnoses in our family at the moment, in adults and not children. But when you have children with cancer, there are siblings that are affected. There are parents that need, you know, a little time away as well. And it just boosts an overall treatment when you've got something to look forward to. And if you don't have the financial pressure of that as well, because it's not just traditional summer camps. I mean, I've seen, you know, kids with cancer going skiing. I've seen all sorts of different opportunities for these children and their siblings and sometimes families to go away together. And it's just, when you have something to look forward to, that's a bright spot. So it's absolutely incredible to me. I'm always impressed with how hard you guys work throughout the year to provide fun for people, but also more importantly, to provide opportunities for families to get away.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing too, you mentioned it, you said it perfectly yourself, that we do have family camps and sibling camps because we do know that cancer affects the whole family. And you mentioned ski camp that comes up in early February. We're taking a group of kids to Park City, Utah to go downhill skiing. They'll get to try ice skating, and it's any ability level. So whether you have limb differences or you're potentially blind or can't really even do certain activities without that extra help, we partner with the National Ability Center and they're able to get anyone of any ability down the hill, which is super, super incredible to see. And then the other fun thing that I wanted to mention is just bringing those families together is we also have local opportunities that is new this year. So maybe your camper isn't quite ready to go down the mountains, but we'll be able to provide local ski opportunities where people in the Chicago, Milwaukee area will have their chance to get to still go try skiing all together with other camp community members.
That's awesome. Awesome to hear, Hannah.
Yeah. One of my favorite stories from last year was one of the kids that used to go skiing with his whole family, and he didn't think that he was going to be able to ski anymore and was able to go down that mountain and create that experience again. So that's incredible. One of the ways that we do this is with this tournament coming up. So let's talk about, first of all, the different levels. So you have the main tournament, and then you also have the high roller, as you mentioned, and then you also have spectators and different games that they can do around as well too, right?
Yep. We have a number of different things for anyone to play, whether it's poker or just side games as well if you're not a big poker player.
And the food last year was great. So there's dinner provided as well, right?
Yep. So all tickets do get access to the buffet that we'll be having all night, an open bar, and then our late night snacks and desserts as well. So something fun that we do at this event, we always try to make it a little camp themed, is we have s'mores and fire pits every year. So you can make your very own s'more and kind of get in that camp spirit throughout the event as well. But just to kind of dive into the different tickets and levels that you were mentioning, we, like you said, we have our main tournament, which is $300 a ticket. And then we have our high roller room, which is a max of 30 people, and that's $700 a ticket. But the great thing about this room is that it really increases your chances of making it to the final table. So for every 10 players, one person will go. So if there's a max of 30, there's three people making it to that final table for their chance to win the grand prize of the seat in the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas.
And if you're playing that high roller ticket, you get to kind of bypass. You have a max of, would you say, 250 in the main room?
Yeah, we have a max of 250 players.
So you're able to kind of shorten that field by jumping in the high roller. However, if you don't jump into the high roller and you end up busting out that main tournament, there are rebuys for a while as well, correct?
Yes, there will be specific chances where you're able to get rebuys and add-ons throughout the entire tournament. And our host is actually from 670 The Score, Dan Bernstein. He'll be our announcer again for this event, and he'll be able to kind of break down when those add-ons and rebuys are available throughout the night.
But if you do the math, if you think about it, one out of 270, right, gets that main event ticket, and it doesn't matter if you pay the $300 or the $700, you're paying a significant amount less than it would cost if you were to enter yourself into that World Series of Poker tournament in Las Vegas, which Joe has actually had an opportunity to go to and says it's what an incredible experience that is. So just that that's your top prize is incredible. And then you also have bounties, right, which is really fun. There's some local celebrities. There's some folks around that will be there. And if you end up knocking them out of the tournament, there's prizes for that as well.
Yes. So you said it perfectly, Al, that we have a number of different bounty players where if you get knocked out, you'll get to kind of take their name tag that says bounty on it. So you can have a token that says that you got one of the hire players out, but you'll also take home a nice basket for yourself as well. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is actually our first top 10 winners will get a prize. So we're still in the works of collecting our prizes, but they could be anything kind of from like sport tickets to high-end whiskey or bourbon to different Chicago or Milwaukee experiences. So in total, we usually have around $15,000 in prizes for those top 10 people.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing, because I remember watching the big baskets go to not just the players that collected the bounties, but also these players that made it in the top 10. These baskets were just overflowing with prizes. So it was pretty awesome display and prizes in there. So Yeah, it's awesome to see, you know, for really inexpensive price to get in, you're able to have fun in these tournaments, because that's, I mean, it's a charity tournament and you can definitely have a lot of fun, but you also have these big prizes like that World Series of Poker main event seat as one of the top prizes. So there's a big reward at the end of that as well.
Yeah. And that seat in the main tournament in Las Vegas, that's a $10,000 value, but we also help cover up to $1,000 in travel expenses as well. So, I mean, flights to Vegas aren't always bad. So you can get a round trip ticket to Vegas and we'll be able to cover that as well for the winner.
Oh my gosh, Hannah, I didn't even realize that. That is fantastic. I mean, if you can't read between the lines, number one, you're going to be in for a really fun evening surrounded by a lot of awesome people. I had so much fun meeting just everybody at any turn, just to, you know, hear their stories and how they support Camp One Step. But in addition, you have an ample opportunity to walk away. You won't be empty handed. I'm already leaving room in my suitcase because I hope to play the wine toss. they have really awesome prizes, no matter if you're a spectator or not. And I think that's what separates this event for me is, you know, it's not just, hey, I'm going to go play some poker and you leave your spouse or significant other at home. They're more than welcome to join. You can bring a group of friends, make it a whole evening. Because like we mentioned, you know, you can either enter as a spectator, enter the main event, or enter those high roller tables where last year they had a special bourbon tasting in that high roller room. So really special.
Yeah. And I just wanted to mention too, like you were saying, that we have different things for people of any level that they enter. But for that spectator ticket, that's $125. And you still have access to that buffet, the open bar, and awesome games. Like you were saying, Elle, we have a wine toss. We have different raffle opportunities for you to buy raffle tickets, whether it's 50-50, or we're in the works of a special bourbon basket right now. And then fingers crossed, if the weather is nice in mid-April in Chicago, we can get some outdoor games of bags or giant Jenga going as well. So there's a lot of opportunities for whether you're a player, just got knocked out as a player and don't want to buy yourself back in, or as a spectator all around.
Right. Awesome. So the main goal of this, sending these kids to camps and the families don't have to spend that money. It's completely free for them. But, you know, on average, it costs about $1,500, I think you were saying before we jumped on. It's about $1,500 to send one of these kids to camp. And so last year we raised, what was the final total last year?
We raised over $135,000 last year.
Woo!
Yeah.
Wow, which was incredible. And it could not have been done without all the amazing people who came, participated, and sponsored the event and just supported Camp One Step throughout the entire season.
Yeah, this is not a tournament to ever walk away feeling like you lost in any way. You've already contributed and come out on the positive side, knowing that even if you put in X amount to play in the evening, it's still going to a really good cause.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'll tell you, I mean, we met some incredible people that we still stay in touch with.
We do.
Even now. So just an incredible group of people putting the tournament on and that are coming and supporting Camp One Step Two. And so this year we got to beat that total. So.
Yep. And our calendars are already marked, Hannah. We can't wait. I'll be happy to help volunteer. And I think obviously Joe will be in playing hands as well. So looking forward to it.
Elle, you were the volunteer superstar last year. I swear you were on top of everything. It was so.
Thank you. I love these types of events. And I really, like I mentioned, it's just near and dear to my heart. It's important to me that that event runs smoothly because I know where those funds are going. Mm-hmm. And I know how critically important it is for someone with a terminal diagnosis or even just a diagnosis that they have to work through, the amount of stress and pressure that that brings. They've got to have something to look forward to. They just do.
And camp, it builds a special community amongst not only the campers who were diagnosed, but just with all the families as well. So just for a little bit more background, we have 10 overnight programs, camp programs throughout the years, one day camp, and then we have multiple digital programs throughout the year as well. So if kids are unable to travel or if they're too sick to even leave their hospital room, they're mm-hmm. able to still participate in the camp fun, make those connections, and just get to kind of take their mind off of being in the hospital or what it was like to be sick. You're able to create these friendships that, like, you don't have to explain that you have cancer or why you have scars or why you're bald or why you have a limb difference. It's just all of it is accepted at Camp One Step, which is just so incredible.
Yeah. Getting to a place where you have support and also just being accepted and not having to explain yourself is, we all know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Hannah, we're so excited. Please keep us in the loop about any details you get. We'll be happy to share them here on our socials as well. And A-Team, show up big in Chicago this coming April. We'll be looking for you.
Yeah, I think there's word of putting me as a bounty. So if your dream is to knock me out of a tournament, come
bring
do it.
It. This is your chance.
That's right. And tickets go on sale February 1st. Is that right, Hannah?
Yep, tickets go on sale on February 1st, and the first 100 people to register will get a free 5,000 chip add-on, which is a $100 value that you can purchase otherwise throughout the check-in process of the event. But after check-in, you're not able to get that chip add-on. So it's amazing if you're the first 100 people to register in February to get that extra leg up already. But to register, you can go to camponestep.org and click on our events tab and then click on Charity Poker Championship and you'll see more information about the event and be able to take you to our purchasing site as well.
Fantastic. That's and great. Also, I believe we're going to get a discount code for our A-Team. So tune back in next week for that discount code. We'll get that for you.
And Hannah, I appreciate you joining us to talk about Camp One Step and this tournament. And hopefully we can get you back on here to talk about things as we get closer too.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I mean, this is really something special. My favorite thing in the world is when new people become part of the camp family. So getting mm-hmm. to have you guys be here for the event last year and then coming again this year, it really does mean the world to us.
Well, thanks, Hannah.
We appreciate that.
We're really excited. We're looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, guys. And Elle, we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good.
Now it's time for Call the Floor with Elliot Schechter.
Elliot Schechter is the poker room manager for Rivers Casino in Schenectady, New York. He joins us each week to say how he would roll in situations that come up in your games, and he joins us again this week. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, Joe. And the weather finally warmed up again, so we're not consistently below freezing day after day, so it's pretty nice.
That's good. And now that my Bills have been pushed out of the playoffs, now
they got outcoached. That's a tough spot.
I don't know who to pull for now because I have a problem.
I'm rooting for Baltimore.
I have a problem rooting for Kansas City because they just beat us all the time. So,
oh sure, yeah, I can't root for Kansas City. I can't root for San Francisco. I can root for Detroit. I mean, I was in Toledo for 6 years and Detroit for a couple of those, and they're obviously a motivated bunch and love playing for their coach. It's a good story.
Yeah,
it's a town that's obviously. I mean, you got to be much older than either of us to have witnessed a season where Detroit won 2 playoff games.
Right. Yeah. So, I am pulling for them. I'm definitely pulling for them in the NFC. So we'll see how it pans out. Well, we have an interesting call the floor this week. It's sent in by Sean Price, but it works out more like a a rules discussion than really a call the floor per se. But Sean ran into an interesting situation. He says, I had traveled out of town for business, and it just so happened there was a casino not far from the hotel I was staying in, which is always a bonus. And he says, I decided to go and enjoy a night in the poker room. I only ended up staying for about 2 hours because of this situation that came up. He says, shortly after I sat down at the table, I noticed that there were two people who were communicating via sign language. Turns out they were husband and wife. The husband was deaf and his wife, for obvious reasons, knew sign language. They were a nice couple and knew all the dealers, waitresses, and staff, so they definitely played there a lot. I never had an issue with them signing between hands, but there were a couple of times that they were signing to each other when one or both were in a hand. After a few times, I said to the wife, do you mind not signing to each other when in a hand? To which she tells me that they're not talking about the hand, and it wouldn't be any different than carrying on a conversation with another person at the table while I was in a hand. While what she is saying is true, I can talk about random subjects while still in a hand, but it feels different because everyone can hear and understand what I'm talking about. So this continued on for a bit, and I decided to cash out and go back to the hotel rather than be that guy. But I'm curious about the rules in these situations. I know most, if not all, rooms have an English-only rule, but how would that apply here? And can you enforce that they cannot sign while in a hand? So he asks, is there already some kind of rule set up for situations like this?
Well, there's a lot to unpack here. And I've got some experience with this, having either assisted or been the tournament director for several deaf poker tournaments and the obviously coinciding side action.
Right.
You certainly don't want to reduce or eliminate access for other abled people, whether it's physical or obviously sensual. I'm going to have to give the casino the benefit of the doubt here that these people obviously were not cheating.
Right.
I'm pretty sure any collusion would have been fairly noticeable. Two or three signs and all of a sudden bet raise, somebody's trapped or whipsawed or pushed out. It's not too hard to pick up on, especially when they're using sign language as opposed to speaking a foreign language.
Right.
It's very noticeable. English only at the table, yes, does apply in a lot of spots. Some places are very hard and fast with that rule. Obviously, the casino at which you were playing was allowing ASL for this deaf couple, well, a deaf person and his wife. English only is not particularly hard and fast in a lot of places. If you go to South Florida, for instance, at least half the rooms there are English and Spanish at the table simultaneously at all times, and for good reason. I mean, a significant portion of the population is Cuban or Cuban descended.
Right.
And most of them speak more Spanish than English. Foreign countries, there is usually a standard language at the table. English doesn't always have to be one of them. In the United States, it's fairly common, obviously, for English to be the language spoken at the table. Casinos get to make allowances. Some casinos do. This one obviously did. I appreciate you not being that guy. I feel badly that you were uncomfortable. I'm going to give this couple of players and the casino the benefit of the doubt here. I don't think anything nefarious or untoward was happening. That being said, you shouldn't play in spots where things can go horribly wrong. So picking up is still wise. Your instincts are still valid. And I would be wary of playing in a game in which I hadn't not met a single player, and there are people using a second language.
Right.
ASL or otherwise. So yeah, your instincts are still good. You don't want to be the odd man out. But yeah, this is a situation to be handled on a case-by-case basis. Like I said, rooms don't have to have just English at the table. I mean, let's face it, I would imagine there's got to be games in the United States where one or more Asian languages is allowed. I would have to think there are other examples to be found.
Sure.
English is obviously somewhat universal. There is no national language. Let's get that clear. Casinos are still allowed to set their own rules. There is no standardized set, although we've tried to accomplish that with the TDA. And most poker rooms try to use as many of the same rules as possible so that poker is played as close to identically as possible, no matter where you're sitting.
Right. I think the two things that stand out to me is they've obviously been playing there for a long time, so no one has had an issue with it up to this point. And like you said, that's going to be spotted at some point, especially if you're a regular coming in there. So that is one thing. But the other side to that is it seems odd to me, like maybe there wasn't another table playing the same stakes that he was playing or whatever, but I mean, maybe a table change.
That sounds likely. I mean, obviously table changing wasn't a much of an option. That would certainly be the first choice.
Right.
But as opposed to speaking a foreign language, using ASL obviously is manual, so it's much more noticeable. So any collusion or cheating helped and assisted by ASL is going to be much more noticeable.
Sure.
As opposed to somebody just sitting there speaking a foreign language, the cameras aren't going to pick up a thing.
Right.
And again, yes, one game is much more likely. Still, playing poker without being able to hear is tough. I mean, online poker, obviously, you don't hear anybody.
Right.
But part of playing in public, in a casino, in a card room, even in a home game, is being able to pick up on the oral cues, A-U-R-A-L, oral cues, being able to pick up on when the dealer is making sure that players are playing in turn, when players are announcing their bets, when they're gasping when the card hits, when they, you know, they don't mean to do that. You're playing with a lot of the information not available to you.
Right.
So that's a tough deficit to overcome. So even the moderate assisting in conversation of their significant other, in a lot of cases, isn't going to be enough to overcome that lack of information and knowing what's going on around you.
Right. I think that pretty well clears up what Sean was talking about. But and I don't want to go too long here. But I am interested about the tournaments that you've run.
Sure.
That are deaf tournaments.
These were great. Way back when. At the Palms back in the mid-2000s, we hosted the World Deaf Poker Championships. These were big events. We had 40 tables each of those years, all deaf. And it was no exceptions. You were deaf or very hearing impaired, or you weren't playing. It doesn't matter if you were a significant other or a family member. You had to not be able to hear to play. We kept a bunch of interpreters on hand. Generally, for the World Deaf Championships, we would get a couple paid interpreters, and then we would get a whole bunch of volunteers. Basically, people taking ASL classes at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, would come and volunteer to help us run the tournament. So this way, as we had to go to a table to make a decision, as we had to make announcements, as we had to finally award prizes, they would be there to assist and translate on the spot.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it worked really smoothly. Did the same thing in the Midwest. And people would drive from all over. There were smaller events in the Midwest. We still had 160 players. So quite a bit. And again, we would manage to find, we'd usually have one or two paid translators, and then usually a few volunteers who were learning the language from either local community college or local university. And they would come and help out and obviously score some points with their professors. It worked out for us and worked out for them. But again, it was a good experience, and it would make you pay attention. As a dealer, you really had to pay attention, and you had to look people in the eye.
Right.
Because a fair amount learn how to lip read, which is an amazing skill.
Yeah.
And as long as you're looking at them, they know what you're saying. But you can't just look off into the sky or watch the football game or not pay attention. You've got to be actively involved as a dealer. So we almost never had any mistakes. The only decisions we had to make were player error and player dispute. There were no dealer errors because they were actually paying attention.
Right.
You had to. Otherwise, you couldn't deal to a table full of people who couldn't hear you.
Right. Right. That makes sense.
And the side action took care of itself. We designated at least a couple of tables where ASL was allowed. And we'd warn players, look, you're welcome to sit down in the game. Can't stop you. It's a public game. By regulation, we can't make it private and we can't prevent you from playing. But we don't have to have it English only. So they will be signing. They'll be signing during a hand. They'll be signing between hands. If you're going to sit down on the table, those are the rules, and that's what you got to put up with.
Right.
You're welcome to wait for a seat in a non-ASL game. But while this tournament is here and while all these people are congregating in this casino, we're going to accommodate them at least somewhat.
I think that's fascinating because I didn't even know that there were tournaments set up that way, you know, and so I definitely want to learn more about that. I'm going to do some research.
Def Poker Tour is still going on, and they were based out of Texas. They might have moved. But they still try to run events. A good group of people. They have a good following. I mean, an event will pop up and people will come from all across the country. But it's a pretty neat event. It's much more collegial and amicable than almost any other poker event. They all root each other on. As they get eliminated, they mostly hang around and root everybody else who's still playing. They're very active. They pay attention to everything. They're watching the game like it's the final table of the World Series on television. They're all standing around. But usually a friendly group. They love to gamble and they love poker. And at least this is an opportunity to play poker where they're not at a disadvantage.
Yeah. And that's, I think it's important for things like that. So, that's why I'm fascinated with it. I think it's awesome. I really want to learn more about this and see if I can make sure that we're reporting on those. So,
absolutely.
Sean, I appreciate you sending this in because it's a great discussion point.
Yes, it is.
And Elliot, I appreciate you jumping on here with me again.
Quite welcome. Glad to do it.
We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Let's break it down with Hand of the Week.
We are back with another Hand of the Week with Patrick. How's it going, man?
I am pretty good, man. Yourself?
I mean, other than my bills taking it on the chin, I'm doing all right.
There's so many stats out there with them that it's just hard to fathom. Patrick Mahomes has been in the league for quarterback for 6 years. He's never not played in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah,
three of them happen to be at the hands of the one Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
Not to remind you, you know, it's great to be there, but it hurts real bad to hear. It's wide right, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say, of all the ways to lose it, that was the first thing, because those who know, my family is from Kansas, and so I catch a really hard time when these games occur, and yeah, so I told them, you know, of all the ways to lose, it had to be wide right, really, wide right.
It had to be Kansas City. It had to be wide right.
Yeah. So, okay, enough of that.
On to more happier things.
Let's talk about Jackpot Blitz for a minute. So, we've been talking about these tables for a while. I want to just touch on the things that keep being recurring themes with them, right? They are faster games. So you get more hands per hour. They are dealer free, so the dealer's not going to make a mistake, period. You don't have to tip the dealer. If you're playing like split pot games, there's no confusion. It takes so long, you know, to split the pot or whatever. It's just done. So those are some of the big advantages that we've talked about a lot. But some of the things that I haven't mentioned, I mean, the table itself, we talked about this early on, but, you know, you put your hand over the cards like you normally would. It peels back, and depending on how much you peel your hands is how much of the card you're going to see, right?
Yeah.
So you're not going to have somebody peeking over your shoulder looking at your card. The screen itself, it's a 4K screen, so it's You know, it's not like you're going to be seeing that fade.
Yeah, you're not going to have any questions on that side.
Right. It's a 74-inch table, so you have plenty of room.
You know, one of the things, too, that we haven't talked – well, I mean, you and I have talked about it before, but, it's, you know, I don't think we mentioned it in a while, but is the – you know, your real-time tracking on your chips, you know? I mean, for a novice side of it, you know, from my point of view, I mean, I can't tell you how many times that I've – you know, I've been to Vegas a handful of times, and I can tell you that even, you know, especially the first couple of days, you're looking at, you know, colors and counting and everything. If I got it right there, I mean, that's sweet. So it's right. Just got so many little things that I feel like as they continue to grow – once we, you know, start trying these out, there's going to be a place where we will love it. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, this week, our hand of the week is sent in by Curtis Schroeder.
Curtis, and, all right.
Curtis says, I decided to take my first shot at 2-5. So he's been playing 1-3 for such a long time and has been a slightly winning player. So his main goal in this was to see how different it is at the 2-5 level versus the 1-3 level.
Yeah.
He says, my bankroll only allows for this one shot unless I do well. So there you go. In this hand, it folds around to our villain, who is in the middle position. And Curtis says they are a tight, aggressive player. So I'm not playing a lot of hands, but when they play him, they're playing him pretty aggressively. He says he has about 1,200 in his stack and opens the betting to $25.
Okay.
It folds around to us in the cutoff. We have about 1,450 in our stack with the 10 of clubs, 10 of diamonds. So what do you think, Patrick? Well, I'll say this, though. I would like to know if this is kind of a typical sized raise at the table, or if this is a little bit bigger, because it's a 5x raise.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was literally getting it. All right, so here's my gut thought. I'm like, wow. Well, I like tens, and I would definitely like to play them, but that's a 5x bet. I'm like, I'm not going over the top with another raise. So at 25, I'm calling that. But I would, exactly like you were saying, I'm like, is that typical? Or are we, you know, trying to force everyone out when they come back around? I don't know, but
I think
I'm calling to answer the question. I'm calling, and that's the thought process.
I think that the reason I asked that question, though, is because if it is a typical raise,
yeah,
then I'm probably going to come over the top.
Correct. I would agree with that, yes.
If it's a little bit larger, that's where I'm like, maybe we'll just call and see how it goes. But yeah.
If it's along the typical lines, then I'm definitely going to come back over the top with something.
Yeah.
I don't know what range that would be, I guess, but my gut is saying call.
Yeah. Well, I think if it was a typical raise, I would probably go somewhere in the 80 to 100 range, just because we've got people left after us too.
Yeah.
But we don't know, so all we can go on is Curtis calls.
There you go.
Curtis calls the 25, and the big blind also calls.
Okay.
So I think the first thing that comes into my mind also is him saying that his bankroll only allows for this one shot. So you have to be a little careful that you're not playing too scared at this level too. Hopefully it's not that he didn't raise because he was trying to not get stacks in or something like that.
Yeah.
You know. But as it is, we've got, 77 in the pot?
Yep.
And the flop is the Queen of Diamonds, Jack of Spades, 10 of Hearts. So we flopped a set, but I don't like that flop. And villain leads into us for $50.
We're going to find out real quick how tight this villain is and what he's playing it as. All right, well, I'm going 175 probably.
So you're coming over the top.
Yeah, I'm coming over the top. I want to see. I mean, we flopped a set. Yes, it is a scary flop. I mean, Ace King's got you, you know. 8-9's got you. Queens, Jacks. I mean, there's definitely hands out there, you know, to do it. But at the same point, I don't even know if this is sane or maybe I just was told this at some point, but scared money doesn't make money. I mean, at the same point, like.
That's true.
We're going to find out real. Let me put it this way. We're going to find out on the cheaper side up front early if we're, you know, playing or not. I mean, that's kind of my thought. I mean, I feel, hey, we got a set, but let's find out. So that's where my thought process is.
Well, we're going to flip roles here a little bit because usually I'm the one being more aggressive.
No, you're not. Tell me what.
I'm just calling here.
Is it a bad mindset, Mon, in that instance?
No, I don't think that's a bad mindset at all.
Okay.
I can definitely make a case for that and then reevaluate if they want to get more in after that, right?
Yeah.
So if it goes you raise and then they raise and then you can be like, maybe not, right? Yeah. But I want the board to pair and then I feel comfortable. So I'm just calling and going from there.
Yeah.
That's all.
Fair enough.
And Curtis also calls, but the big blind folds.
Okay.
So that makes the pot 177, right?
Yep, 177.
We just added 100.
Yep.
And the turn is the six of clubs.
Oh, womp, womp.
Now the villain checks to us.
Well.
What does that check mean?
That is in my gut, is that that's a check raise time for him.
Yeah.
So let's find out. But at the same point, like we have talked about, you know, you want to, you know, with what your bets are, you want to represent something. So, you know, do you, you know, a half pot here, a little bit higher? I'm probably going to go a little bit higher. I'm going at least 100.
Well, to your point, if we're trying to tell the same story, right? Then we just called preflop.
Correct.
Then we just called on the flop. So if we bet now, what are we saying we have? What kind of hands are going to check, or what kind of hands are going to call and then bet when they check?
Probably aces or kings.
Yeah.
You know, if you're sitting on aces or kings there, you're feeling so good. A six comes out, you're feeling really good. You're not going to miss anything. You know, you only got to survive the river, I guess, maybe. So what's your gut telling you here? So you get it checked to you after calling all those. Are you going bigger or are you checking?
No, I'm probably not checking because I want to get some information now, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go 90.
Okay.
So a little over half pot.
Okay. So just shy of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I said 100. Yeah. All right.
Then what we have to do is think ahead, though. If this is a check raise situation, correct. So I bet 90, you bet 100. If they come over the top of that, what are we doing?
Yep. I would call a raise.
I don't know if I would. I really don't know. I think we have to.
I mean.
So Curtis bets 120. So he goes a little bit over what we said. Villain snap raises to 350. So it's pretty much what we called. And it sounds like the check raise was the plan from the villain all along since he just snapped it in there.
Yeah.
That sucks. I feel like we're handcuffed a little bit though. Like we don't have a lot of options.
Yeah, I feel like.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking you call. I guess my thought is, I don't like the snap call of the villain. I don't like that at all.
Snap raise, yeah.
Yeah, excuse me, snap raise. Sorry, I was in my own head of whether to call or not. I don't like that, but at the same point, it was what we were expecting. So if that's the case, then yes, you call and you see the river, and then you know play from there. That's
what did. What did our villain start with?
He started with 1,200. So we've got him covered.
But
it would yeah, more a little more information would make me feel a little bit better on my decision as far as what that $25 bet meant, you know, as that goes on five times. Is that, you know, out of the norm or not? It makes me think that it's not necessarily out of the norm, but it's on the bigger side maybe.
Right.
With the way the rest of the hand is gone. So I don't know. But to answer your question, I'm calling his rate. You said 325, right?
350, yeah.
350, yep. So,
yeah, the reason I asked how much he started with is because I'm trying to figure out what he has left. And if after that 350, it's somewhere, I don't know the exact numbers, but somewhere around 800.
Yeah, so 350, 50 is so 425. So it's 775 ish.
So somewhere around that 800, and the pot's going to be somewhere around 900. So he only has about a pot sized bet left. So if we call, we're setting it up to where he's jamming on the river.
Yeah. And are we willing to call that?
Yeah. And if we jam, if we go ahead and just put it all in right now, are we going to get better hands to fold? No.
Yeah. I mean, ace king doesn't fold. 8-9 doesn't fold. Queens and jacks don't fold.
I feel like we may be putting our whole stack at risk and hoping that the board pairs. Because if we're not planning on calling the shove at the end, then I don't know. I may just say, let it go here.
Yeah, enough is enough. Yeah. I'm following you. I mean, I think you make a very valid case for that.
But at the same time, I'm thinking I got to take my own advice
and not play scared
at the beginning of this hand and not play scared.
I don't always have an idea of where this is going. I've been surprised many a times week after week. This one, I have no clue. Right. None. I love it. I mean, I hate it and love it all at the same time. It's wonderful.
I'm going to throw it away.
You're throwing away.
I'm going to fold and save the couple $100 for a better spot.
Build it back up. Yeah.
But Curtis calls.
Okay.
Curtis calls. And so he even tells me here the pot is about 877 and the river is the 8 of spades.
Nada.
Villain wastes no time in jamming. Any nines a straight.
Yep.
Ace king obviously beats us. Just gross. So what do you think? Are you calling that?
So we're in for what? 25, 50, 75, 75 plus 350. So that's 450, 425. So we're in for 425. We got what? 1,000 chips left?
Yeah. That'd be about right.
I'm living to see to fight another day. And I don't know that I played that hand right, but I'm living to see another day. So I'm folding.
Yeah.
I think if I had to guess, I don't know if we're even going to be able to find out on this. I don't know what Curtis ends up doing, but my guess is he's got ace king. That's my guess.
That's kind of where I was from the start, is thinking ace king, but there's now it's any nine beats us too. So
yep.
Let's see. Curtis calls and he says, of course he had the straight. The actual hand being ace of spades, 9 of spades. Huh. So
wait a minute, that's way worse. So this guy, ace nine, he's got nothing until the river.
He's got a double gutter, so he's got...
Yeah, but you snap call that or snap raise that?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
He says, this makes me regret not jamming on the turn.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You can't be results-oriented either. And once you know the hands, of course, it makes you wish you would have done something different. I don't know that it was played super wrong throughout. There's some places where we would have played a little bit differently, but not much. And so I don't have a problem with this hand. It's not the best outcome, but yeah, I think the only way you save money there, does he fold his double gutter? Depends on how wild he is. I mean, he could be like, I have what, 8 outs.
My question though to Curtis is, did he put that in there in the description to you and I of him being, what did he say, aggressively tight? Is that the term?
Tight aggressive. Yeah, tight aggressive.
Did he put that in, you know, Monday morning quarterback going, all right, if he is aggressive but he is also tight, if he jams on the turn, does he go away because he is tight? I'm wondering who's, you know, described it that way.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's the only way that you take this hand down. I mean, I don't think you fold when, so he flops 10, jack, queen, mixed board, and you got ace, 9. You're not getting to fold there. But, you know, if you come over the top with him and jam after the 6 of clubs comes out, yeah, maybe. Maybe not. Probably not you. Yeah. You get me to fold, but Joe's not folding. Joe's like, you're welcome. Yeah. I mean, it's all, but I think for Curtis, you know, looking back on it, that might be the only place that you get him to go away. But at the same point, maybe not. I mean,
so the thing that gets me is it was definitely his plan to check raise.
Yeah.
On the turn because of how quickly he did it.
Yep. And now knowing what he had, he was fine with that. So
yeah, if his plan is to check raise there, then I don't think he's folding for a pot sized bet at the, you know, basically left.
Yeah.
If that was his decision, he's not going anywhere. So that's a tough one, Curtis. That's a tough one. But I would say this one, I don't think you made a lot of mistakes in this one. It's just turned out the way it was. I think that the way it played out, I probably would have saved a little bit of money just because I'm looking for some better spots and there's a lot of danger in that board.
Yep.
So I think from that point, just thinking about the danger side of it, maybe you save some money by not getting to the river, but that's really about it.
Yeah. Otherwise, if, you know, find a place you want to fold, you know, looking back on it, but as far as playing against the villain there, I think you did everything else, you know, what you could.
Yeah.
So tough hand.
Curtis. Yeah. Curtis, I appreciate you sending that in. If anybody else has a hand of the week that they would like Patrick and I to break down, send it to podcast@anyupmagazine.com. Patrick, we'll do it again next week.
Keep them coming. We love it. Have a good one, Joe.
You too.
It's time for Joe's One Outer.
Did any of you watch the Poker Go Tournament Championship a few weeks ago? I was a little bit behind, but I was finally able to catch up. And in the game, there was a player named Jeff Lennon. And he had apparently won his seat into the game and maybe had a few drinks, but he started to get out of line a little bit. The other players were annoyed, but the audience watching was also pretty irritated with the situation. The thing that got me most was his interaction with Arden Cho. Lennon peppered Cho with questions about her dating status, her sexuality, and babbled on about how, quote, super hot she was. Afterward, Cho was asked about the situation, and to me, her answer was the most telling. She said this is just a small glimpse of what it's like to be a woman at the poker table. Look, poker's come a long way since the images of smoky rooms and macho-ness from days of old. The reality is, there are plenty of women that have demonstrated the strategic prowess and psychological acumen needed to excel at poker. Concentrating on those aspects promotes the game, but instead, during a live stream, we have to watch as yet another woman is boxed into stereotypes, leading to condescending behavior by some drooling guy at the table. As for Arden Cho, well, she finished the tournament in second place for $200,000. That should help break down some stereotypes, but there's still some work to do. That's today's one-outer, and that's today's show. I'll see you next week, A-Team. And until then, I'll see you at the tables.
The Annie Up Podcast is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call the show at 540-339-7741. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to editor@AnnieUpMagazine.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.